I thought that I would talk with you today about compassion because we need more of it in this time that we're living in. We need more of compassion for ourselves, and we need more of compassion for those people who we feel are taking a wrong direction or a wrong turn. We need it equally in both directions. So you may feel inside yourself which is more difficult, to feel compassion for yourself or to feel compassion when someone that you know or have heard of is acting in ways that you think are wrong or hurtful or harmful. We need to understand who the individual being is, even in the presence of wrong action. We truly need this more than ever before, because the world is becoming polarized into people who have founded or become part of different groups that have enmity towards each other, and we can't afford to be part of that. We can't afford to do that with anybody. So we need to find the way of feeling compassion for those people who we would not want to be continuing to do what they're doing, who we would not want to agree with or have anybody else agree with. But the starting point is to understand why. What is the nature of compassion? Where do you find it in yourself? Where do you find forgiveness? And I would like to say that there are two places where you look, or where one could look. One is in the understanding of the soul, and the deeper being is the soul. I call the soul, you can speak of it in any way you like. The deeper being of each person who is in a body is their soul, without exception. No matter how someone is acting, they are still a divine creation, and their soul still remains intact, even if it's covered over by a million layers of covering. Even if you can't feel it because the actions that a person is taking are so against what you believe is right action, even then, there's still a soul created by God. So one of the pathways of finding compassion is holding on to that knowledge of the soul essence of every living being. And sometimes we have to hold on with both hands and with our teeth as well, because the words that people use are very difficult words, and the actions they take are very difficult. So we have to really determine intently to feel who they are, not about their actions, but beyond their actions. So that can be quite a challenge when somebody behaves in ways that are disagreeable. Can be quite a challenge to find the inner stability to feel lined up with ourselves, to be at peace, so we're not at war with their actions, we're not at war with their words. And maybe you feel part of you wants to be at war. Then you have to heal yourself, because the part of you that wants to be at war or to fight back is contributing to the part of the other person that's involved with whatever we're considering harm. That part of you that wants to be at war is not your soul. It's something else. It's your desire for power to be able to change the situation. So you have to, as I said, look for this place of honoring the inner being of another and grabbing a hold of it and hanging on to it no matter what's going on. And the way you do that is by distinguishing between behavior, which includes words, and being. Behavior is not being. Being is the inner structure, core self of another. No matter what they're saying or doing, that's still there. So that's one of the ways to continue to have compassion, is by holding on to that knowledge. The second and equally important way is to understand how people, including oneself, but others as well, lose touch with their own heart. This is the main avenue in which the energies of contraction, negation, opposition convey themselves to an individual. They make other things important on the level of thought and feeling, but not love. Love is not important. Other things are important. Having your own way is important. Getting done what you think should get done is important. But where love goes, that's less important. So when you meet somebody or you hear somebody speak who is talking as if they're really successful at getting certain projects done or certain policies enacted or certain agendas put forth, and they feel they're a great success, maybe, you have to ask yourself, at what price? At what price? Because the price that somebody is often paying is the loss of heart, the loss of love. Yes, something may be looking like it's getting done, but that person is getting it done for the wrong reasons in the wrong way. And so it's not really getting done. It's just looking like it's getting done. This is the second road to compassion, is understanding how a person gets separated from their own heart. You can ask yourself that about yourself. How do you get separated from your own heart? How do you, at times, maybe only some of the time, maybe often, how do you get into a place where only your will is important? Only your will is, I need to do this, and everybody else, get out of my way. Or change your mind, or change what you're doing. Everybody else, change what you're doing so I can accomplish what I'm setting out to do. That's pure will. That's will. That's not the light, because the light doesn't force anything. The light doesn't say, you have to give up what you're holding on to so that I can have my way. That's not of the light. That's of force. And people do that very commonly. They mistake force for truth. Force is not truth. Force is a strategy. Force is an act of will. Force is a way of making it look like what you want to get done is getting done. But underneath, the whole thing can come apart because it's not founded on the truth of wholeness. The truth of wholeness of beings. The person who is doing that action, or making that policy, or saying those words, the truth of wholeness has to be there, or that thing that is happening is not going to last. Which is another way of saying war makes war, fighting makes fighting, you know? It can look like you win, but it can't last, because the underpinning of that is not wholeness. We are greatly in need of compassion today so that we can extricate ourselves from the fighting that's going on. And we do it also through compassion for ourselves. You know individually where it is that you wish something would have changed in you, but it hasn't changed yet. We have some of that hanging around. Almost everyone has that. Why isn't this thing that I've been dealing with for 1,000 years over? Why isn't it done when I've done all the work that I have put into getting it done? Why is it still hanging around? So, the easiest thing to say, or one of the easiest things to say, is I'm not doing enough. Or I'm not doing the right thing, but I don't know what the right thing is to do. I'm not doing enough. Self-blame alternates with blame of others. That's the energy of negation. That's the opposite of compassion. Self-blame, blame of others, is a dance that the ego does back and forth and back and forth. So, we have to get out of our own way and feel acquainted with that place where we're in pain and say to ourselves, I have wanted this to be done finish this healing that I'm in need of. Why isn't it done? Why isn't it done? Why isn't it done? And stay away from blame, whether it's of the self or another. And what keeps us away from blame is compassion. Compassion is the willingness to bear the pain of something that's in limitation, whether it's our own limitation or somebody else's limitation. That's what keeps us from blame, is compassion. Now, I'm sure that all of you have places and relationships where compassion for the other person comes easily. You feel the struggles that they're having or the history of what's gone beyond those struggles. You feel sympathetic because you know that someone has had a hard time. So I'm addressing those places where you don't know that somebody has had a hard time, and where you don't know that the way to move things, to help things, is through your compassion for them and for yourself. When we bring love to this situation, for anybody, loving someone else in compassionate ways, or loving ourselves, we're not just feeling something that's a feeling, we're actually improving the situation. Because what stops movement forward is opposition. And when we're fighting with something or someone, you can't move something forward in wholeness and truth while you're fighting with it. You have to give up fighting, including fighting with yourself. Then something opens up by itself. It moves forward. So compassion is also the willingness to feel the pain of waiting for something to change without blame. The question is whether you can do that. Because the ego says, no, I don't want to do that. I want to fix this now because it hurts too much, so it's easier to blame somebody else and say, if they didn't do this, then I'd be feeling this. That's an illusion. That's the distortion of causality that says, my life, my inner life is dependent on what somebody else is doing. No, it's not. That's the growth curve in spiritual maturation. We start out thinking that the world is doing something to us, and we grow into thinking that the world isn't, we're doing it to ourselves. That the thought process we have is determining the way we see reality. So these are steps, beloved ones, steps along the way. Here are the steps. I'm going to give you a summary. The steps. The first step I spoke of was to recognize all beings as souls. No matter how difficult it is to do so, to separate the behavior of somebody from their being, no matter how difficult to hold on to that, and to do it for yourself as well, for yourself as well. And when I say behavior, I include spoken words. The thoughts that give rise to words are behavior. So that's step number one. And the second step was to recognize the effect of energies of negation that create a loss of connection with the heart. Something comes into oneself, whether from inside or outside, that creates a cover over one's heart. And so pretty soon when that happens, one no longer remembers that there's love to be had any place, only that there's conflict everywhere. And the being, the person, doesn't remember that there's a pathway of love that's important. It's like it's gone off the radar screen. So listening for that in others allows you to have compassion for them who have lost their connection with their heart, and of course for yourself as well. And the third step that I spoke of was understanding that fighting is never the way of wholeness. Fighting with someone, blaming them to make things different for yourself, is never truthful. It's not. Wholeness depends on an inner change, an inner adaptation, where you reclaim your own capacity to be at peace. It's inside you. It's not inside someone else. You reclaim it for yourself. And when you do that, you reclaim the responsibility for your own wholeness, your own peace. Then you free the other person in that relationship to change their behavior, because you've stopped fighting. You've stopped demanding. You've started being a person who's inside themselves. I make this motion of up and down, straight up and down, because it feels like that. It feels like you're straight up and down inside yourself with your own sense of inner rightness that doesn't have to force anybody to do anything. So I've mentioned a few different things that are about how to maintain compassion, and then we need compassion for forgetting about those things. We need compassion for all of our forgetting, because we hold spiritual principles easily. I mean, you understand the words that I'm saying, but when it comes to a conflict or a tension or a stressful interaction with someone else, that's when we lose it. We lose our capacity to remember how to be. We lose it and get defensive. We lose it and start fighting. We lose it and withdraw. We lose it and give up. We lose it and become passive. We lose it in 100 different ways. We forget that we have the authority inside ourselves to reclaim our own wholeness. And that's the work of a spiritual life. That is the whole thing in one sentence, the reclaiming of wholeness, which is the reclaiming of your own deeper being. You know, I speak with you about your own dilemmas so that you can apply them to your own individual life. But each of us is pivotal at this time to making a difference in the world. We either add to or detract from the level of conflict that's going on. We add to it or we detract from it, depending on how stable we can be in a place of peacefulness inside ourselves. The winds, the currents of energy creating turmoil are very strong. The currents of energy creating the willingness to separate and to dislike and to condemn and to judge others is very, very strong now. And so we can fall into that pattern without being aware of it. Or the reverse, we can fall into the pattern of feeling judged and becoming judgmental towards ourselves without even being aware that that's happening, just thinking that that's natural. It's not natural. It's natural in this age, in this time of being separated from our heart, when it's difficult to stay connected with our heart. When it's easy, we don't have anything to discuss. When it's difficult, which is a great deal of the time in this world that we're living in, that's when we become examples or spokespersons for the path of peace and for the path of compassion. You may not think that you have the capacity to do this. You may think that you're too flooded by negative energies to do what I'm suggesting. You may think that you're too far gone, or that you're too immersed in the pain of your existence, or that the problems are too big for you to do what I'm suggesting. But I assure you that that is a belief that you're holding that has no truth to it. You are not too far gone to do this. The energies of darkness and of negation are not stronger than the light. The energies of negation creates the belief of entrapment that they are stronger than the light. And so a person can feel trapped in that belief, but it is not true. So for each of us, giving up or feeling that somebody else could do what I'm suggesting, but I can't do it because what I'm dealing with is too difficult, that's a false perception that's being created by an energy of negation in you, negating your own capacity to affirm peace inside you and to let go of blame. Affirming peace, affirming wholeness, saying, I'm too far gone, or it can't happen, or the energies are too strong. They are strong, but light is stronger if you hold on to it. My prayer for us all and for all beings is that we have the determination and the courage and the willingness and the compassion to hold on to the truth of our own being, and that we can maintain that in the presence of that which would deny or oppose the valuing of our heart. There is a great deal today that negates the valuing of our heart. And so I pray for us and for all beings that no matter what situation of conflict we're in, we can uphold ourselves in a place of recognizing we are divine creations, peace lives inside. It is not necessary that it be given from outside. It's necessary that it be upheld from inside. Fighting creates fighting. Conflict creates conflict. Peace creates peace. And compassion creates love. May all beings benefit from this knowledge. May all discover this truth within themselves so that the world and we as individuals can be healed and made whole. Om Namo Bhagavate, Om Namo Namaha.